Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Parkmanship Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ryan, and with me is my wonderful co-host, Andrew.
How's it going today, Ryan?
It's going pretty well. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been an eventful day, but, you know, excited to talk about our topics today.
Yeah, it should be a great episode.
Mm-hmm. All right. First thing on the agenda, Ryan, is story of the week.
It is indeed. The story I have is about Zion National Park, which is one of the most popular parks in our country in Utah. And starting on April 1st of next year, Zion's going to begin a pilot program for a permit system for their very popular Angel's Landing Trail. I actually did this trail earlier this year, and I agree with this decision because hiking part of this trail is kind of like climbing Mount Everest, just without all the altitude issues and like the avalanches and stuff. But there's this one section that gets really overcrowded, and there's only one way up, and that's also the same way down. And it's on this very narrow trail with steep and potentially deadly drop-offs. So I definitely like the idea of limiting how many people can be on this section at once. However, there's a $6 fee just to enter a lottery to get the permit. So you're not even guaranteed the permit. You have to enter a lottery. There's a $6 fee for it. And then once you, if you win the lottery, you have to pay an additional $3 for the permit itself. So it's a little pricey. And really the only place that these fees are going is to staff rangers at checkpoints to check the permits. So it's not really financing anything infrastructure-wise or important.
Okay. I mean, the $6 fees will go towards the park, which is pretty cool. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, I was reading the article straight from the National Park Service, and in it they say that the $6 fee is going just towards funding staff rangers to set up checkpoints for the permits.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of a closed loop. It's paying for this new program.
Okay. My story of the week is the First State National Historic Park is gaining a visitor center. It's somewhere we've been. It's going to be located in an old the historic sheriff house at the in the Newcastle National Historic Landmark Historic District. That seems repetitive. I don't know. I'm just reading it from the National Parks National Park Service release, and some from the National Parks Traveler, great website. We've been there. From what I remember, we hiked a field in Delaware, and there's barely anything around. I'm not the biggest fan of the state of Delaware. Just feel like there's nothing there.
I think you were in a bad mood that day, because I actually enjoyed that hike. It was right on like a creek or a river, and there was like a castle-like structure in the background. But someone was in wanted to just run through that hike, so there was no time to enjoy it.
It wasn't me.
Wait, what's the capital of Delaware?
I don't care.
I don't know. I think we've been there before. We drove through it.
Probably.
That's where this historic district is. Is it Wilmington?
It doesn't say.
You've been there.
Yeah, it doesn't say, though.
That's my guess.
Okay. All right, moving on to our main discussion.
Yes.
Which is our first trip together.
Yeah, for our first trip together ever, we did a small trip to Hyde Park and Saratoga National Historical Park. And the genesis of this trip was during the summer of, actually more like the spring and summer of 2015, I really just wanted to go to Saratoga National Historical Park because it's such a, it commemorates such an important event in American history. But I didn't feel comfortable going by myself. So towards the end of the summer in August, the opportunity fell where you were able to go. So we went together to these two areas in the in August of 2015. And our first stop on this trip was the home of Franklin Delano Roosevelt National Historic Site, which is a pretty long name. But anyways, the site preserves Springwood, which is the home of FDR. He lived there his entire life. And then it also preserves his presidential library, which is the first presidential library in American history. And it also preserves over 1,000 acres of gardens and trails. So definitely a lot going on here.
I mean, I think it's kind of the coolest ones we started off with. Just because we got there, it's not that far from us either.
No, it's slightly over an hour, maybe. Not that, like, it's definitely under 70 minutes.
Yeah. We stopped there, at the home. It's got this really long, nice long driveway, with trees planted all the way down. You can walk up it, but they do a guided tour, if I remember correctly, right?
They do. Yes, which you can sign up for in the visitor center. Mm-hmm. And they have a pretty big visitor center there because you can get the tickets for the tour of the home, the presidential library tour, a tour for Cottage, which is one of the other buildings that he frequented during his presidency, and then a couple other tours, I think. And then beyond that has a nice-sized gift shop. It has an indoor snack stand, and then it has a few exhibits. So it definitely has a lot going on in this visitor center.
His property is very large. It's like his house is huge, and then right down the road from there is another historical. Well, it's not really. Is it down the road? The Vanderbilt Mansion.
Yes, that's not his. But you're forgetting one that he also that was also owned by that family.
Is it the what's the name of the little house across the way?
Well, there's Top Cottage, and then there's Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site.
Oh, yep.
That's a little ways down the road, but that's they also own that.
Yep.
But anyways, after hitting up the visitor center, we actually did the tour of the home where there's a ranger that gives you like a nice overview of the family history.
Yep.
Right in the visitor center because there's a like a map on the floor. It was really interesting.
They kind of went into his history with him being in the wheelchair.
That's when we got into the actual house.
Yeah.
Because in the first floor, it was quite interesting to see that they, because the house was kept in the condition that of his time. And it was interesting to see, like, there was definitely a lot of effort into hiding his disability even in his home.
Yep. Yeah, I remember in his office, they had like a special chair that was kind of, I don't remember the exact thing it did, but it kind of made him look like he was kind of standing almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird modifications to some of the furniture to give him the illusion of standing because towards the end, he really couldn't. I think it actually started before the end of his, before his presidency. I think they used his son to hold him up during some conferences and stuff. We learned that there. Presidential library is something else we viewed, right?
Yeah, but getting into that, before that, we also did the second floor of the tour.
Oh, that's right. There is, yep.
And I found that floor much more interesting because you got to see the room where he was born in because he lived in this house for his entire life from his birth to his presidency and death. And then afterwards, the tour exits out through the backyard. And I swear, every single time I'm at this park, because I've been there a few times, there's always tons of deer just hanging out in the backyard.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We did the presidential library after that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. So, Ryan, the presidential library had some pretty cool that the presidential like mock stand, which we took.
Yep.
You had something. You took pictures, right?
I took a few. The things I found most interesting was there was an exhibit about the end of Prohibition, which I didn't know happened during his tenure. And then there were some really cool manuscripts and speeches, like first edition ones, including his famous Four Freedoms speech. And they showed like edits on that he or one of his speechwriters did on creating it, which I thought was really cool. And then they also had one of his cars on display, which had the like the pulley system because he couldn't use his feet.
Oh, that's right. I remember, I don't know if it was there or if I saw it on a documentary, he went to a retreat during his presidency quite a bit, like a pool retreat.
Oh, yeah, that's down, no, that's up in Canada, right across the border, I think.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know if it was talked about at a video at the exhibit or something I was reading at the exhibit, but I found it pretty cool.
Yeah, Campobello.
Yep. All right. Let's...
Well, which one did you prefer? Did you prefer the presidential library or the tour of the house?
That's literally what I was going to get at. Oh. I think the house. The house just had some weird oddities in it that help him, you know, hide his disability.
For sure.
Which, you know, I thought was kind of cool. Just like the innovation to do so. What was yours?
I'm going with the presidential library. I just thought it was more informative and definitely more interactive. Like I loved pretending to do a presidential speech at the podium and then taking pictures of it.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yep.
All right. Then we stopped for.
Well, Andrew, was this the only time you've ever been to the FDR home?
Yes, I think it's still the only time I've ever been.
Oh, wow. Because pre-COVID, I used to go like a couple times a year just because it was pretty close. And it's definitely a park I really love because it's such a, even if you don't do the tours, it's such a beautiful place to hang out outdoors. It's right on the Hudson River and there's a lot of hiking trails that aren't rigorous. If you just want to go for an easy day hike, go right here. It's got the Hyde Park Trail that you can follow for like 15 miles and hits up all the sites in the area like Vanderbilt, this one, and the Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site. So yeah, definitely a great park to visit.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to go back soon, even though it's not even an hour from our house. Yeah. All right. Then we right across the street is a movie theater and a brewery.
Yeah, an outdoor movie theater.
Yeah. We didn't see anything there. I'm pretty sure Shrek was playing, or one of the Shreks was
and playing. That's why we didn't stop for it.
Yeah, I was all for it. But we did stop at the brewery, Hyde Park Brewery.
Yep.
I think I got a double IPA. I don't think I liked it.
Yeah, you definitely don't strike me as an IPA drinker.
No.
I forgot what I got. They have a pretty good variety, though. They have stouts. They have reds.
I thought you got a growler.
I did get a growler, but I forget what I got in my growler.
I think it was an Indian pale ale.
They have brown ales. I forgot about that.
Yep.
It's solid beer. Nothing special, but you go there for the variety. You can get pretty much anything there.
Yeah.
They also have a nice food menu as well because you can get breakfast food, you can get pizza, you can get burgers. I got fish and chips at one point because I've been here a couple times. It's a nice place to eat.
I know I got a pretzel and fries while we were there. I do remember classic. That. Yeah,
classic Andrew Sweeney meal.
Yeah, it was great. What else? And then we stopped at the Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site because it's down the road.
Yep. Right down the road is the historic site, and this preserves Val Kill, which was a more secluded building on the Roosevelt property that the Roosevelts would host guests over for and would eventually become Eleanor Roosevelt's place of residence after FDR's death.
But she never went back into the house, correct?
Yeah, once he died, she lived in Balk Hill permanently. She didn't go back to Springwood. But anyways, we were only there briefly. We only toured the grounds. There's a nice pond there with a good population of red-winged blackbirds, which is one of my favorite birds. They're a sure sign of spring has arrived. And then we walked around closer to the Balk Hill, the house. And I remember walking through an abandoned tennis court. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I do remember that. It's the jog in the brain I forgot about.
Yep. But anyways, a tip about Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site. The tour for Balk Hill, which we did not do, is one of the hardest ones to get amongst the Hyde Park tours. So make sure you reserve that in advance.
Yep. And then we took ourselves up to towards Saratoga. We stayed in Albany. Yeah.
Yep. New York's capital.
Yep.
We stayed at a Hilton Garden Inn at the Albany Medical Center. And yeah. I thought it was a decent hotel. We took advantage of the gym there, not to actually exercise, just to fool around on some of the treadmills and stuff.
Yeah, I did fall. Or did I fall there? One of the gyms I fell on one of our trips. I don't remember. I know you. We went to dinner at said hotel.
Yeah, there was a sports bar attached to it. I just remember I did not have a good experience here. I remember I was in a jalapeno popper phase.
Oh, I do remember that.
And I think this was because, do you remember at Buffalo Wild Wings, like the classic restaurant of the Parkmanship podcast?
Yeah.
We should get sponsorship from them.
I don't know if I can work that out, but we could try.
But anyways, do you remember when Buffalo Wild Wings used to have jalapeno poppers on their menu?
Yeah.
Those were the ones that got me into jalapeno poppers. They were so good. They were bacon encrusted, and then they got rid of them for some reason. It made me very sad.
Yep, I do remember that. And then you tried to get jalapeno poppers here, right?
Yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, jalapeno poppers, definitely ordering those. The problem was these jalapeno poppers were just the jalapenos with some cheese on them. They didn't have the like the fried dough around them, which is what I was expecting. And they were like super spicy.
I thought you were going to be mad because we didn't do good at trivia.
Oh, I'm getting to that part, Andrew. I'm getting to that part. This was the first bad thing that went wrong. So yeah, ended up with some really spicy, disgusting jalapeno poppers, so-called jalapeno poppers. And after I was done getting sick from that, they had a trivia contest going on. So we're like, yeah, we'll do this. And I remember doing really well. Like, they had, like, questions about Lost, which is my favorite TV show ever. Like, just, oh, we're going to be in first or second place, maybe third at most. And halftime comes around, and it's revealed we were in seventh place. Seventh place. Don't know how that happened. People were definitely cheating. And all I remember was, I think I told you, like, we should just get the check now and leave as soon as possible.
Yeah, you were very upset because you... We did really well, no phones, because they specifically said no phones.
Oh, yeah. People were definitely cheating.
Yep.
No possible explanation otherwise. Because we only missed, like, 2 out of, like, 10, maybe, without phones, all just our brains and nothing else.
Yeah. We got to do trivia more often, I think.
It's fun when people aren't cheating.
Yep. And then we went back to our rooms because you were sad.
Yep.
With the restaurant.
Probably had some beer from my growler.
Yep. That sounds about right. And then we
prepared for the next day.
Yep.
which is when we went to Saratoga National Historical Park. And this is a park that preserves the battlefields of the tide-turning battles of Saratoga in the American Revolutionary War. And then it also preserves some historical structures and monuments in the surrounding area.
Yep. I remember the drive up was through some backwoods of New...
Oh, I forgot about this.
Something. It was during election season, so it was pretty bad up there.
Yeah, we definitely came across a Hillary Clinton effigy. It was quite scary.
Not because it's scary, just the way it was portrayed was scary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna put bluntly very red up there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Perfect description.
Driving like 80 miles an hour on the back road, and we got flicked off by a guy in a hand painted camo truck because we weren't going fast enough.
Very confused. I remember this tune, or I completely forgot about this as well.
Yeah, I remember he had a gun rack on the back, and he flicked us off. And I was like, "Okay, we're not in
we're in redneck."
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, we drove up to the site or the park. We first stopped at the visitor center.
Yes, we did.
It's got a little map, or not really a map. It's a mini recreation of the battlefield.
Yeah, that was kind of like, it was supposed to be an interactive one, but it was very outdated.
Most of the things did not work on it.
Yes.
I remember that distinctively because I mashed buttons.
Yep. And then it also had some like guns and bullets that they found at the battlefield. And then, of course, it had the store. And then it did have a nice overlook of the battlefield in the back that you could walk out towards.
And touch cannons.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I have a picture of you taking a picture of the battlefield.
Definitely. I'm pretty sure there's a famous meme of Larry David at that battlefield with his daughter, and she's unimpressed, and he's just holding a cannon in the background. It might be another battlefield, but he's a big battlefield, like historical battlefield nerd. So I think it's that one, but I could be wrong.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll try and send you the picture later tonight. But yeah, I remember trying to take a picture with the cannon, or take a picture of the cannon, you taking a picture of me. We usually have pictures of us taking pictures of something, of each other.
Yeah, we have quite a few of those.
Yep. We did the auto tour.
Yes, we did. I thought it was a bit of a letdown, as all of the waysides had interactive exhibits.
When we
pressed the button, they wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And it's really concerning that, you know, a park of this magnitude, it's preserving one of the most important moments in American history, is having all these issues. However, since we've gone, I have heard they've gotten more funding, so they're at least going to work on it.
Yeah, I remember the visitor center being out of date as well. Like, not just the exhibit, but like the whole interior and the exterior was in need of restoration.
Yep. Yeah, this definitely needed some more.
Gettysburg or Valley Forge.
Yeah, that's correct.
Both of those are also Valley Forge is a historical battlefield.
Not battlefield, but it's a historical park from the same era.
Yeah, it was very outdated. I do remember that. I don't remember my favorite stop. I think it was the overlook towards the end.
Oh, towards the end?
Yeah. Because you see the rolling hills of upstate New York.
I'm going to actually guess your favorite stop was not a stop, but it was all the times in the car when we were listening to the Mad Max soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite. Because
that was the year Fury Road came out.
Yeah. I think we play that every time we go through an auto tour or Drive.
Most of them we do.
Yeah.
Because this was the original.
Yeah. Or we'll switch to Lord of the Rings, specifically the Two Towers, because the Balrog. Is it Two Towers?
No.
No.
Fellowship of the Ring is Balrog.
Yeah, yeah. Fellowship of the Ring is Balrog. We should start a movie podcast. But that's a whole different topic within it. But yeah, we tend to listen to soundtracks while we're driving through historical parks. We did it with Joshua Tree, I'm pretty sure.
I forget.
We did it. Where did we do it recently?
It was Valley Forge.
The Art of Valley Forge. We also did it in, I think.
Oh yeah, we did. Going to the Sun Road.
Yeah.
Which we have on video as proof.
Yes. What was your favorite stop? Because mine was, you know, us fooling around.
Mine was, I don't know if you'll remember this, but mine was the Boot Monument is what it's called. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's a small, like, statue, and it has a boot on it. And it's gated and everything, so you can't go into it, so no one can defuse it.
I vaguely remember this, because I tried to climb the fence.
Yeah, and then it on the back, it's like, oh yeah, this is dedicated to one of the greatest soldiers ever, and like talking about this guy's leadership, and then they don't tell you who this is.
Yep.
And it's because it's a monument for Benedict Arnold.
Oh. After?
Yep. No, they don't tell you that.
Oh.
Like, but if you look it up, it was for Benedict Arnold because he pretty much led the American soldiers to victory in these two battles that composed Saratoga. Like, he's the reason why we won this battle.
Okay.
We can't mention it because of the actions he took later on in his life.
You mean being a traitor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We did do some hiking there. Not much.
Yeah, we did like maybe a half mile portion of the Wilkinson Trail. And the Wilkinson Trail is the trail that if you don't want to do the Auditor, you can do the Wilkinson Trail. And that will take you to most of the stops. And I think it's about 4 or 5 miles if you do it. It doesn't do the entire Auditor, but it hits the main stops. But yeah, you just pretty much go through some forests and streams. I actually did the full trail a second time I visited without you. And once again, I saw a lot of deer on this trail. So I guess this portion of New York, a lot of deer here.
Yeah. Favorite part of the trip, Ryan?
That's tough to pick. Mine's either the presidential library, just because there was a lot of interesting exhibits there, or the brewery, just because there was such a diverse menu of beers and food.
I think FDR's house and the brewer are kind of my thing. As I don't know why, but I think we had the most fun there. Because like driving up to Albany was very long.
It was.
The hotel was okay.
Yep.
And Saratoga was kind of outdated. I don't know. Like a lot of those factors kind of not soured the trip, but like, meh. At the end, like, it's whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad trip at all. But yeah, Hyde Park is a much more interesting place to explore than Saratoga, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ryan, you know what time it is, right?
It is the Fry review of the episode.
We're doing Hyde Park Brewing this week. I do remember it being pretty good. They're really fresh. I think they hand cut them there, so that's really important. So it was very good. But I'm going to give them 4 out of 5. Actually, ooh, probably like 3.5 out of 5.
Ooh, is this your first half rating? I forget.
Yeah, we're going to the point system.
Nice.
Ryan, we have a little bit more we got to talk about, right? It's the Unigrid review of the episode, and it's on Saratoga.
Yes, Saratoga. So this Unigrid, it starts off, the cover is a painting of the Surrender. I'm guessing this is Horatio Gates, who was the general for the colonies, even though it was Benedict Arnold who actually led the soldiers on. So it's a nice painting to start off with a nice cover. But this Unigrid has a lot of history, and even though it's a kind of a small pamphlet, it's a smaller Unigrid, and it includes what happened at the site and the lead up to the battle. It also has a lot of in-depth details of the auto tour. And the only thing it's really missing is just some information about recreation opportunities, because there is opportunities to both hike and bike here. So overall, I would give this 4 out of 5 arrowheads.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Top three. Right.
Top three time. Ryan, what was your favorite items bought at a national park site gift shop?
Yeah, this week we're doing, now that we're heading into the holiday season, we're going to pick our three favorite things we've purchased at a national park site. Number three for me is something I bought this year, and that's I went to Zion National Park and got a trucker cap. The Watchman is one of the more famous and well-known structures in the park. So it's a pretty good cap, and I wear it a lot while hiking now. Two for me is this synthetic park map shirt I got at Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield Park. I just really liked hiking with it. Thought it was really cool. Unfortunately, I lost it.
How?
But I don't know. Like, it was one of my favorite shirts, and I lost it. It was so good for hiking. It would wick away all the sweat all the time. It was so cool. It had like the entire park on it. You can look at all the cool sights on there. Super cool. And then number one for me, I had to go with guidebook. Guidebooks are the things I buy most at park stores. And the one specifically I have at number one is National Geographic's 10 Best Book for National Parks. Whenever I get or start looking into doing a national park trip, I actually always consult this book. I know previously on an episode we talked about that one time we almost got lost in Joshua Tree with the mine.
Yeah.
And you were surprised when I told you that I did not consult All Trails for that.
Yeah.
I consulted this book. This is where I got that idea from.
And we got lost.
Kind of lost.
That's an understatement. Well, I think in my third slot is the poster I got at Joy Tortuga. It's kind of done in like a 60s like ad poster, which I found really cool. It just kind of stood out. I wish they did more for more parks. Most parks don't have cool posters like this.
Wait, is this a WPA style one?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Number two is my National Parks Week t-shirt that you also own.
Oh, is this Find Your Park one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I think it's just a cool design. I love spending money at the gift shops because I know most of the time it goes back to the park.
Yeah, very true.
My number one is not going to surprise you, but it's pins. enamel pins. If you see my backpack, it is covered in enamel pins. It's something I started, not at Saratoga, but I started right after that. Collecting pins. I have a pin for most parks. I know I can order them online if I forgot to go, but that's not the same as picking them up in person.
Oh yeah.
My favorite pin is from the I Like Ike pin I got in DC recently, because is it Eisenhower, right? It's the Eisenhower pin.
Yeah,
Eisenhower. It says I Like Ike, and it's the classic red or white, red and blue pin, but it also says still on it. So I found that really cool that they just kind of added the word still onto the pin. There's a couple different styles, but I always go for the enamel pins. You can get these like glossy metal pins, or you can get I don't know how to describe them. They're kind of like portrait pins almost of the parks, but they don't have the good backs on them. They're kind of rubber stoppers and not clasps. So.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. I think that ends our episode of the week.
It does indeed.
Thanks for listening. Once again, this has been Parkmanship.